Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Shona Wall.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Guys, that was fantastic. Wow. And I just think today is just like, just beginning to step back into the stuff that we've been hearing from Days of Favour. We really have had the most amazing week. It has been incredible. As we've really contended for and fought for God to be raised up high with boldness and with audacity. It has been incredible. It's been wonderful. There's so much to see, so much to do. I just want to look over here. This is just some of the stuff that we were getting. Wait a minute. I have to get to the right page first. Yeah, I think this is it. Here we go. Yep, here we go. Here we go. Yes. So, on here, we put the key scriptures that we were praying for. And one of the first ones that we got was this one. Yet because of your shameless audacity. And Kate brought that word. And then Paul brought that word. And then he wouldn't let us go without being shameless and without being bold. He stopped the whole prayer meeting because he said, no, you're mumbling. No. But actually, when we were bold, that's when the rest of that verse says, then God will give you what you ask for. Yeah, because of your boldness, because of your audacity, because of your cheek, and because of your brassiness, and there was loads of other words on a poster somewhere, that were there, God has poured out, and God has given. We have been like the watchman on the tower. We've done that literally. We went to the castle on a prayer walk and we were literally on the walls being the gatekeepers. It's just been an amazing thing. And the words that we got was, we're not to keep silent. We're not to rest until. Those were the words that we got from God going into this whole Days of Favour. So we weren't silent. We were loud. We were noisy. We were adventurous. Yes, I found the word audacious and the words it means. So, intrepid, risky. Well, risky, come on, you know, like risky prayers. Venturesome, adventurous, boldly, foolhardy even. Foolhardy prayers, come on. Courageous, brassy and cheeky. And that's where we started. And that's where we got. Brian's already said something about what happened. Were you going to say that, Claire? No, that's cool. Because I didn't want him to be, you know. But, yeah, it was amazing because we've been watchmen on the walls for a while. We've got a band of watchmen, you know, who are standing at the gates. We've had them praying for, almost since this before and whatever. But, you know, like when we came here, we took up that mantle and we've been praying and, the amazing thing was Kate and I were praying on the Tuesday morning and Kate got a word in Isaiah 62, which was about, let me just find it, not that bit. About going through the gates and preparing the way for the people. For building up the highway, for taking out the stones. And she was reading that. And I was reading this other bit in a book that I'm going to share a little bit more with you later on. But we just came together, and what God was saying was all about the enemy taking back stuff, that we'd allowed the enemy to come and snatch. And Pastor Paul was saying it was a bit like the enemy had gone, ooh, that's a bit unguarded, I'll just take that. Oh, look at that line around there. I'll just take that. And you know, like if a thief came in here, no, you're not. So just, you know, but you know, and you go away for 2 seconds and your back's turned and boom and boom. And it's like, I had that. Where did it go? Where have I put it? And you can't find it. And maybe you forget about it. And so the enemy goes, oh, I'll have another little bit, you know, not that you are. So just, you're not coming in here. It's just an example. And it was like the Lord was reminding us throughout the week of things that the enemy had stolen from us. There was bits from James Maloney, who was a prophet of God, who came and spoke things over us. So Kate and I were just praying, and we broke off a spirit of poverty. And we thought, right, we're not having that spirit of poverty. We're not having that. We're not having somebody come and rob us of the things that God has for us. So there was over here, we've got, look at this. Some of the things, you can read about them. There's some of people I know have taken pictures and put them on phones and everything. But it's like, look, this was one night where we just came and the church wrote down what they saw, what our town is going to be. Like, you know, like we had people declaring it's not Scarborough, it's Mighty Borough. It's not Scarborough, it's Worship Borough. It's not this. And, you know, like, and I just got this sense of it's this town. It's this town. You know, like we have that, our conference, and we call it this. And we have lots of different thises. And I was just going, yeah, this town. And we can declare over our town, this town is all these things. This town is not Hepzibah or is it Hepzibah? Yes, no. This town is Hepzibah. This town is Beulah. This town is not forsaken. This town is sought after. You know, so this town is not desolate. This town is abundant, full of fruit, full of harvest. So these were all the things that we were shamelessly, audaciously praying for. One of the things that James Maloney said is we're a church of 2,000 people. Well, yeah, not yet. So we're praying until. We're praying until. We're praying until. And when we pray for stuff and we don't see it, we don't give up. We pray until. We pray until. We pray until. In the worship there, I was having it. And Jesus came to do his Father's will. And he went into the temple and he saw money lenders there. And he thought, hold on a minute, that doesn't belong in my Father's house. Boom, out it went. And God's been, I think, raising up in us the same passion. The same passion to say, you know, you're sick. That doesn't belong in God's house. No, be healed in Jesus' name. And we get rid of the stuff with the same passion that Jesus kicked those, overturned the tables, and we just kicked that out. We say, no, we're not having that. We're not having that. One of the things that really amused me was we went on a prayer walk up to the castle, and Joyce was with me, and Roy was with me, and we were just generally chatting about how that awkward moment when somebody you know really, really well comes up to you and you haven't seen them for a bit, and sometimes their name is floating in the ether somewhere. And we were saying, you know, like, it was funny because Joyce and I were saying it, and we're saying, no, well, it's not old age, we're not having it, we're not, you know. And then Roy came and mentioned stuff, and I don't know how he phrased that, but I think it was something like, I have trouble, dah. And immediately I was going, no, you don't. No, 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 you don't. And it reminded me of a time in Germany when we used to say that all the time. If somebody came up to you and said something that you knew didn't agree with what was in the word, you'd go, I'm not having that. I'm not having that. And that reminded me of a time in the library when Pastor Paul preached and he had the kids coming up and they were all out the front and he was going, you know, like if somebody comes up to you and says, well, you're silly, you go, no, I'm not. I'm not having that, because that is not your destiny in Christ. That is not your identity in Christ. And so it was like, yes. And so I think God's been just reminding us of those things so that we can say, right, sorry, Father, we let that get stolen. And we've gone into the enemy's camp. Do you remember that old song? We've gone into the enemy's camp and I've taken back what he stole from me. And so I think that's what we've been doing this week in prayer. We've been knocking, we've been asking, we've been seeking, we've been boldly persistent, shamelessly audacious. We've had nothing holding us back. And everything, there's so much, there literally is so much in here. We have prayed through Isaiah 62, Isaiah 61. We've had other stuff relating to different scriptures, Matthew 11, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. It's been awesome. So I'm just here to do a little bit just now, because I'm doing a little bit later on, because I want to share with you how we got to that point, or some things that God's been saying to me about a book I was reading about the hidden power of prayer and fasting, and how that's all come out of it. But yeah, so we were praying on the Tuesday in the morning, and we had words about this spirit of poverty, and we broke it off ourselves. And was that on the Monday night? Can't remember. Tuesday, wasn't it? Yeah. Yes, thank you. Tuesday night was the prayer, and we Kate and I had been praying on the Tuesday daytime session after the communion, got all this stuff. And then on the Wednesday, when we came to pray, we were praying and we were going for it, and we were being bold and noisy and persistent and not holding back. And Pastor Paul got a message, a phone call from the landlord. And that's when the landlord was saying, I'm going to give you this gift. Just like that. And I mean, it's just like, whoa. And we were so excited because on the Wednesday, when we come and meet for prayer here, and it was on the 24th of May, because I went and looked at it in the prayer journal that we keep, we had a picture, and it was a picture of a check arriving into the office that had come from the offering, and it was for £1 million. And it was just the sheer number of it that made Richard and the lovely Claire, who work in the office, just go, what? Hold on a minute. What? Shock. No, wait, hold on, that can't be right. Claire, can you just check this? And Claire's going, well, I think it is. So that'll be £1 million? What? You know, and then they're running around, you know, so excited because of the amount that God's bringing in. And so when James said this, that reminded us of that. And it was just like, we've seen the first bits. We've seen the first bits. Do you remember before the break for Faith Camp, we had a picture of like when Elijah saw the fist on the horizon. We've seen the fist on the horizon, and the rain and the floods are coming. It's just been amazing. So Claire, I believe, is going to come up next and share some of what God's been saying to her.
So do you feel your faith is rising?
Yeah.
Is it rising? Do you believe that actually what we've started to see and talk about and pray this week is going to happen?
Yes,
amen. Because we've got to be one. We've got to be one in this.
Yes.
And if you weren't able to get to anything this week, I really encourage you over the next couple of weeks, try and get to a Wednesday morning prayer meeting or to God Encounter on a Thursday night, just so that you can... We all need to feel part of it. We don't want anybody to feel like they're on the edge of it. It's so important that we're standing together as one. Towards the end of the week, I had a picture when I was going to sleep on Thursday night, actually. And you know those pretty jars that you can buy that you put money in, but you can't get the money out. So you have to be really committed that you're saving for this thing because there's no way of getting it out. And I had a picture of one of those, really beautiful one. Didn't know what they were called, actually. And I saw that it was being smashed, and that this week we smashed that jar, or God had smashed that jar. And in that jar, well, no, hold on. Then I was texting Pastor Paul, and I thought, I better find out what they're called before I text him. So I was in the middle of texting, and then I looked them up on Google, and they're called jars of dreams, which I didn't know. And it was like, we've been putting our dreams in, we've been putting our plans in, we've been sowing, we've been saying, God, this is what we want to see. And find this week, God has smashed it open, and the jar of dreams has been smashed so that they can come out, and we can see them come out, and we can see them starting to manifest. And Pastor Paul pointed out that it's a money pot, and so the provision for those dreams is also being released. So that was a great way for me to end the week, because that was the last bit that I was involved in. But one of the significant things that Shona just mentioned was one of the things that the enemy has stolen from us has been some of the prophetic words that we've been given over time. And we went back to the prophetic word from Dr. James Maloney from 2009. Now, many of you may not have heard it, and over the coming weeks and months, I think we'll probably be going back to it and other words and unpacking it, because it's so important that we contend for words that are given to us. Prophetic words don't just happen. Just because God says something, it doesn't mean it's necessarily just going to happen. He tells us for a reason. He tells us so we can contend for it. He tells us so we can pray. He tells us so we can call it into being. He tells us so we can take action. He doesn't tell us so we can go, oh, that's nice. We're going to be a church of 2,000 people. Let's all sit and put our feet up. It won't happen if we do that. But it doesn't mean that wasn't God. It means that we haven't contended for it. So back in 2009, God said to us, well, God had spoken to James Maloney to say that there were 50 places across the world where the veil between heaven and earth was really thin, and where they, you know, you could see miracles, could see all sorts of things happening. And he believed, and he spoke to us and said that Scarborough is one of those places. It's a certain place. It's an open heaven. It's a portal between heaven and earth. It's a place where we should be seeing extraordinary miracles. We should be seeing amazing things happen. Salvation, 2,000 strong church. So we went back to that to start praying and contending for it. And that's where some of these things came from, and start to see it into, come into being. So there were lots of things around that which we will sort of take hold of. But I encourage you, if you've got the downloads or you can get hold of them, Roy has reliably informed me that it's session 5 from that 2009 one. It's called The Mandate. But we will be looking back at these things. But I just really want to encourage you, not just prophetic words for the church, but over your own life as well. They're not going to just happen. And we really said this week, we're not having this anymore. We are not going to allow these words to be stolen. And the enemy comes and steals it in some different ways, by us forgetting about it. Now, we've not forgotten about this word, and it's come back as a worship team. We certainly pray about the open heaven, but we haven't been consistent in really pushing into what God is saying. By becoming so familiar with it that we stop treating it with the holiness and the awe that it deserves. And we have to watch that so much, that we don't just become so familiar with what God's saying that we're flippant with it. That actually it's something, it's amazing. This is what God has said about this place. This is an open heaven. Do you, when you walk in this door, when people come in during the week, do you expect them to walk through this place and see healing, see them encountering God? That's what we've got to start seeing and believing, because that's what God said we're going to do. But let's not treat it as familiar. Let's pray it into being and treat it as holy. The other way is by distracting us onto other things, into good things. We can be doing great stuff. We can be doing great works, and we should be doing those. But let's not let ourselves be distracted from things that God has said by getting so focused on what we're doing that we don't have time to go back and say, God, this is what you've said, and I'm going to contend for it. I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to take time to believe that as a church, as a congregation, as a body here, that we're going to see this come into being. And planting unbelief, that's the other way. It hasn't happened yet. Look at us this morning. This doesn't look like 2,000. How are we ever going to be 2,000? Don't allow those seeds of unbelief to be planted. Don't allow them. If 3 or 4 people allow those seeds of unbelief to be planted, actually that holds us all back as a church. Let's stand in faith, and it's okay to say, God, help me with my unbelief. I'm really struggling to believe this. Please help me with my unbelief. That's okay to say. Be honest about it. Don't just say, yeah, I believe it, when you don't in your heart. It's okay to say, and it's okay to say to somebody else, wow, I'm struggling to believe this. Can you pray with me that we can start to see faith rising and belief? Okay, so we need to stand together to see these words established in our midst. And I really believe this week was, it wasn't the end. We're not at the end of the week now. It was just a kickstart. Last Sunday before, I had a picture of us as a church coming down a ski ramp, and that we'd gained momentum, which was amazing over August, but we'd gained momentum, and we were just at that bit where we were just launching. That was 2 weeks ago, and I felt, and there's a real sense that couple of weeks ago that God was doing something and that we were going to launch off. And I feel this week has been that launching off. So be part of it. Let's stand together and let's contend together.
So the challenge for me is not to slow down and to speak quickly, which for me is unusual. Claire talked about awe and God's awe. One of the things that hit me at Faith Camp like a train was the fact that Andy Elm said, have any of you here, the thousands of people, not just the 100 or so here today, but have any of you here stopped being in awe of God? Does God pass by and you go, "Woo! Oh, that was good"? And it made me realize that I should proclaim more that I am not ashamed of the gospel. I should not only just do that in my heart and in my mind, but out there, to actually talk about it and to say to people about it. And if there's people that I don't think I actually want to walk up and talk to them, and that's a discerning aspect, what's stopping me from praying about it? What's stopping me from praying about that person to come to Christ and drawing that down? And then maybe there might be, when my confidence has risen, there might be an opportunity for me to speak to that person that I don't want to speak to. So the awe of God, do not let it pass by quickly. Now, Paul also said it's up to each one of us to encourage the other. Okay, now Claire talked about prophecies. There have been prophecies spoken over this church, over each of us, that may not yet have come into fruition. One of the prophecies and visions that I had before I came to this church the following year was about an armada coming in from the ocean. Coming in from the ocean into Scarborough. Now, that's not an armada of ships. That's an armada of people coming for Christ and coming for healing and coming to hear what we have. Now, Isaiah 62 that Pastor Paul preached on last week and that we brought forward into Days of Favor. Sections of it, verses 1 to 3, for Zion's sake, for Scarborough's sake, and for our villages and towns, wherever we come from, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, for Scarborough's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness, Scarborough's righteousness, goes forth as brightness and her salvation is a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and the kings your glory. Now the nations are these armadas of people coming in from the local region, from beyond. And then Claire's talked about, and so has Shona, who leads our prayer ministry. She is the worship, the worship director is Alex. The prayer director is Shona. Shona heads up the prayer ministry. Various people come along physically and then also in body with her in spirit and in mind on Wednesday mornings. But we need more watchmen on the walls because it is tough. It is tough. Claire's talked about that we sometimes let our resolve go. Now, Pastor Paul has brought from Faith Camp about Karen Wheaton and praying until. It is a massive commitment to pray until. I haven't always done it. I'm going to be doing it now. And I'm going to be doing it now and now and now. Because there are prophecies that have been spoken over me and my family, some of which I have been reminded about this week, some prophecies over this church that I've been reminded about this week. Some of these are up here, about 2,000 people, but it's not stopping at that. Now, Isaiah goes on, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. That's each one of us. He has given us this gift through Christ of salvation. He wants us to repent, to turn to him, and be clothed with righteousness and robes. In earlier chapters of Isaiah, arise, shine, for your light has come. If anyone here thinks that their light is not as bright as it used to be, get other people to pray with you. Stand together, encourage one another, not in judgment. Pastor Paul talked last week about fasting. He talked to us again this week during Days of Favor. And I only went to 3 sessions. But I was able to get 3 sessions and it really has changed me. Those of us who are here today, those of us who are listening, who weren't able to come to any of them, they're not recorded, but just belong. We already belong. But who are we? Whose are we? Encourage one another. Stand with one another. Not just for fasting, but how's your prayer life going? And it's not about in judgment. It's about let's pray until where 2 or 3 are gathered. If we're feeling out of sorts, let's pray until. Denise isn't here today because she's ill in bed. I mentioned that to 1 or 2 people, and guess what? 1 or 2 people immediately there and then, without me asking, went into prayer overdrive. Okay, because I'm expecting to get back and see Den out of her bed. Now, time's marching on. We only had a week. But what we had in a week was a history and an inheritance of what has been spoken over each of us and over this church. Claire has talked about what is going to carry on. We're going to go back to the wells. We're going to take those caps off that the enemy has capped, to the wells that have not dried up. But we need to take the caps off. Karen Wheaton's daughter was drip-fed, and they didn't notice it. And she left. She left her family. She left church. She left Christ. And Karen Wheaton, as some of you have heard, prayed and prayed and prayed. And there was one time she thought, no more. But she told others, and they prayed, and they got her praying again. And she prayed until. That book we have about the life of her daughter coming back to Christ. We have heard today about those people who have got to come back to Christ. There's a whole tens of thousands of people out there that are yet to even know the name of Jesus. They don't know about it. There was a time in our councils, in our workplaces, in our homes, and in our schools where we started the day, not with quiet time, but we started the day with prayer and with songs to declare God. We need to see that happen. And it won't happen unless we stand on the walls, unless we join with others, unless we encourage one another. So if you're not feeling fabulous, be honest and get people to stand with you. Encourage, because there's strength in numbers. Christ sent people out in pairs. There was a good reason for that. It's about encouraging and standing strong and true. Don't let prophecies and the value that Christ has in each of you as the apple of his eye fall on waste ground.
Okay, so, yes, amen, going into the enemy's camp. Now, and taking back and contending, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're doing. Now, we went to visit Steve Upple's church. We'd taken Noah and Naomi. Sorry, I'm trying to think and speak at the same time. It's not working, really. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anyway, I was trying to remember when it was that we went. But anyway, Pastor Steve was on holiday, but there was another pastor there, and he spoke on a time when King David... I was trying to find the reference. I can't find the reference, that's why I'm... Samuel. Ah, there you go. 2 Samuel 5. There's a voice from the front row. It's good. There was a time when King David was coming up against a lot of enemies. He was surrounded. They went up to search for King David. And so, what did King David do? He went into the stronghold. And it was the way that... I think it was Pastor Ray, the guy's name, or Jay, I'm not sure. Apologies for not remembering his name. But David went to the stronghold, and it was called Baal Perazim. And that means God of the breakthrough. And so when David went to this strong place, it was where he got the breakthrough. Pastor Brian mentioned it a little bit earlier. He went to God. He heard from God. He did what God said. And so this week of prayer and fasting, as a church, we've heard from God. And we've done what he said. God was saying, seek first my kingdom. And he was saying, ask. And then as we were doing that, he was releasing more. He was saying, I want you to be bold. I want you to be bold, and that meant that we had to listen. We had to listen to what our leaders were saying. They'd heard from God, and we had to do what the leaders were doing. They were having this time because Pastor Steve Upple's church are doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so we're encouraging them to come, to seek God, to come to the place for your breakthrough. We had a lot of names up around the prayer room, if you were up there, names of God. So things that we could grasp hold of and not just declare that God is a God of breakthrough in whatever way you wanted it. I mean, we have seen that dam bursting on the finances. That's a breakthrough in the finances. But if you're wanting a breakthrough in your healing, if you're wanting a breakthrough in your neighbours, if you're wanting a breakthrough in your job, if you're wanting a breakthrough there, then you can take hold of the name of God the Father and get hold of God the Father. That's what we're supposed to do. Get hold of him, grab hold of God the Father and say, this is what you've said. This is what you said. I am not giving you any rest until, which is where Isaiah 62 comes in. But before we were doing all that, Pastor Paul had been talking about prayer and fasting, and he was emphasizing fasting this time. And I was thinking, well, he doesn't often mention fasting as such. You know, it's like prayer and fasting, but he doesn't really do a lot of teaching on fasting. And I just thought God was saying something to me about the fasting aspect. Now, this is confession time, for me anyway. But there's no shame in this, because part of what we've been learning and God has been bringing back to us is we're a safe place. We're a safe place for one another. It is safe for me to tell you things, because you are not a people who judge and condemn. You are a people of forgiveness, grace, mercy and compassion. And it is safe for me to share things. So on that note, when I was at Rofi, funnily enough, at the same time that Pastor Paul and Kate were there, God was up to something, obviously. They used to have lots of times of fasting, prayer and fasting. And they'd say to us as students, so we're fasting lunch today. Or, right, we're fasting this today. Or, we're going to fast that today. And I was a very naughty student. I would listen to this voice that would say, oh, they've run out of money again. I'll just eat when I go home. That was very naughty of me. I have since repented, and God has forgiven me. But sometimes when you hear something, you think, oh, that's for them. I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. And so I think I was like Isaiah in the first bit of Isaiah 58, where the people were, you know, doing stuff. Blow the trumpet, I'm fasting. Hello, here I am. Look, I'm in my sackcloth and ashes. I'm fasting, la-di-da-di-da. And none of that's for the glory of God whatsoever. I thought, right, fasting. I've got a book somewhere that tells me, why do we fast? Why is it we fast again? You know, talking about taking things back. It was like, and I've got this book, which I highly, highly, highly recommend to you to read if, like me, maybe the enemy's been trying to steal stuff from you. Because it's called The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. Now, sometimes when we're praying for people, we want to see the power released, and we go, well, I'm praying, I'm declaring, but I'm not really seeing the power. And God was just leading me to this book and to Isaiah 58. Because in Isaiah 58, verse 6, it says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? So this is the fast that God wants us to fast, because he has said that when we fast, the bonds of wickedness will be loosed. When we fast, he will undo the heavy burdens. When we fast, he will let the oppressed go free. When we fast, we break every yoke. So, you know, like in this book, it's got like it lists benefits, which you can, if you read from Isaiah 6 to 8, I think it is, here are some of the benefits. So some of the benefits of fasting are revelation, healing and wholeness, righteousness, the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, amen, answered prayers, amen, continual guidance, contentment, refreshing, strength, work that endures. I mean, we've been talking a lot about sowing, not just for now, but for the future, because we're not a flash in the pan. We're building something here that will endure, that will go from generation to generation to generation. So, raising up future generations and restoration. So I thought, well, that was an absolute great list of stuff to be. So that was one of the benefits of fasting. And in this book, because I could read it all out, but I'm not going to, because it'll take far too long. And I think God's got other things that he wants us to go into. But he used the example of when Jesus was on earth. And you remember when Jesus went and he got baptized in the River Jordan and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in Luke 4, and we will look there because I want to get it right here. And in Luke 4, is it verse 11? He was filled, verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, so he's filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days. Because it says he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when he had ended, he was hungry. And I thought that was amazing, because you kind of like think, you can fast for 40 days and not feel hungry. If it's a fast that God's led you into, if your leaders have called you for a fast, you can fast for 40 days. Not that we did do a fast for 40 days, because we listened to what our pastor told us last week and hear from God and test these things and see if that is what God's saying. But we were fasting. This was a week of prayer and fasting. And so at the end of this, where the story of where the enemy tempted them in different areas and everything, he ended the temptation and he departed from Jesus. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Did you get it? So he was filled, he fasted, and he went out in the power. And that was the bit that that God was speaking to me, that sometimes we can be filled with the Spirit, because as believers we're all filled with the Holy Spirit and we released and we get the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But actually the power of the Holy Spirit is in us, but it's released through fasting. And I just thought, wow. Now, I don't know how I managed to survive at Roffey and not actually get that revelation. But I didn't. Maybe because I wasn't being very obedient. And I wasn't positioning myself for triumph. Now, chapter 5 in this book is brilliant. It's called Humility, the Position of Triumph. And it says, King David positioned himself for triumph. Now, triumph comes after the breakthrough. Triumph is when you don't just have the victory, but you have the triumph. And the Word of God says that he leads us in triumph. He leads us in triumph. So we don't just get the victory, we get the spoils back. Pastor Paul was saying about, like 10 or 100-fold or whatever. So whatever the enemy's been trying to steal from him, we're getting it back, and he's got to give us, it's like hundreds of fold. So is position yourself for fasting. And he was saying that in the Old Testament, whichever king was leading, there was, I think he mentioned Jehoshaphat, Ezra, King David, when they positioned themselves, when they came to God and fasted and called the nation to fast with them, they were actually positioning all the people for not just victory, but for triumph. So so as Claire was saying, we take back these things, we contend for these things, because they're ours. They're ours. So that, just trying to find yeah, there we go. This is it, because Jesus came to break every yoke, and we are called to break every yoke. That's what we do when we fast. We break every yoke. And I just want to share one other little bit that I got with in that. Is like Pastor Paul, when he was encouraging us to be bold and courageous and brassy, took the mic and said, right, you know, there's only three things that are stopping you from being bold and being audacious and that. And he said, I thought I wrote them down, but maybe not. But anyway, it was fear, it was pride, and it was shame. And I thought, well, yes. And in here, in the word, it doesn't say that I am a person of fear. It doesn't say that. It says I'm a person of a sound mind and power. Amen. And of love, you know. And it doesn't say that I've got an orphan spirit. I have, you know, it's like there's no shame. Shame, like, it's like keeps you like thinking, oh, you know, poor me, oh, you know, I need that. As if we haven't got a saviour, as if we haven't got a father who forgives, as if we haven't got someone who's got good gifts planned for us and good plans planned for us. We've got a good father who gives good gifts to those who've asked, as the worship team were declaring. We've got a great father. We've got a father who wants to give us great things. We're not meant to live as paupers and orphans. We're meant to live in the riches of everything that God has got for us. And so we can rise up, and we don't rise up with shame. That's one of the things we say, shame, you get out of here. Shame, you get lost. You're not having a hold on me at all. It's like if you say fear, I'm not a fearful person. I might feel fear. I might feel fear lots of times, especially when, you know, I'm being asked to do something that's, you know, yeah, step out. Woohoo, there's a bit of fear. But I am a bold person. I'm not a person who hasn't got courage. I'm not a person who's lacking courage just because I'm feeling fear, because courage will overcome that fear. And it's like I don't live fearfully thinking, oh, I'm feeling fear, oh, I'm a bit scared, oh, I couldn't do that. No, that I'm getting rid of that orphan spirit. I am not a person who has no helper by my side. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. And it's not a different Holy Spirit to the Spirit that filled Jesus. It's not a different Holy Spirit to the Spirit that when God spoke, things came into being. That I have the same Holy Spirit. You each all have the same Holy Spirit. And we are called to be ambassadors. We have got a great purpose. We get to go into the world and proclaim the kingdom of heaven to people. We get to go into the world and proclaim salvation for people. We get to go in and declare freedom. We get to go in and declare all those lovely things that are in Isaiah 61. Over people, you know, it's like it's just amazing. We get to comfort those who are mourning. We go and we comfort them because we've got the God of all comfort living and breathing and operating through us. We get to give people beauty instead of ashes. When we see people and they're in dire needs, it's like, you know, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. God had me singing one bit. I can't remember which night it was. But we went into worship, and all of a sudden, instead of singing, God, you are holy, I heard God sing it over us. He was going, Shona, you are holy, you know. Helen, you're holy. Jossie, you're holy, you know. Darren, you're holy. You're holy. That is how God sees you. We can't declare these things as if they were, you know, until we see and know that that is what God is saying. So it was like declaring the town of Scarborough holy. Flourishing, alive, somewhere where people are going to come. We've had so many pictures of God saying there are thousands going to be coming. I mean, we will have a church of 2,000, but there are far more people who are going to come and see what God is doing in this town. To think, wow, have you heard what's happened in Scarborough? That was said over them, but the church rose up and look now, look what's happening now. You know, and they're going to come and they're going to be hungry and they're going to take that back and see their towns and their villages and their communities, their cities all transformed, because God is the God of transformation. Because, yeah, so, which is the bit, yes. They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. So our town is going to be completely transformed. Our town is. This town is going to be that one. This town is going to be called Sought After. This town is going to be called that. This is the banner that we've been raising up all week. The name of Jesus, there's no other name higher. We've been singing it, we've been declaring it. We went up Oliver's Mountain, sung it. We were singing it this morning again. It's like no other name than the name of Jesus. And so what I believe God wants us to do now is, if I could have the worship team back up, please, if you wouldn't mind, is we're just going to come before God and just stand here at the front and take back the things that the enemy's been trying to steal from you. You're going to take them back, and you're going to go out from here in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to get filled again, refreshed again, receiving from God again, so that you can go out there and you can take this. You can take hold of the boldness. You can take hold of the courage, and you can go and be fearless without any shame at all. Nothing holding you back, because we're people who go forward. We're people who go forward. So if the lovely worship team could just play something gorgeous and beautiful. And if that's you, if you know God's been speaking to you and you know the enemy's been trying to rob you of stuff, whether it's your health, whether you need any healing, or whether it's your courage, whether you need more courage, whether it's that, you know, the enemy's been trying to cover you in shame and you're just going to throw that shame off you. You're going to be like blind Bartimaeus. You're going to say, Jesus, have mercy on me. And you're going to walk out in the robes that he has placed over you. So if that's you, I just want you, while the worship team play, just come forward and we'll stand with you in prayer. Okay.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.